And oftentimes we will try very little at best. I don't know how it is for some others when it comes to teaching and preaching and singing and just doing the everyday stuff that the Lord wants us to do. Oftentimes I sit there and I try to think and think and think, and the Lord reminds me. He said, it's not what you got to conjure up in your mind. It's that you trust in Him that He'll provide what needs to be done, needs to be said. Is everybody with the preacher on that? Because I do believe, don't get me wrong, I don't think you just sit there and out of nowhere comes this big epiphany and you say, hey, that's the Lord, and you run with it. I think while you're waiting on that, it's the reading and the praying, and it's the effort that you put in before them. And I'm saying these things because the exact opposite sometimes happens. And time slips away. And I was thinking about some things in the past events, the stuff that's been happening, things that's been showed to me about my life and about some things. I don't know, as the brother asked prayer requests, let's remember our country and remember our community. Never a time has people said that they have seen in all their days. I've only been alive for 46 years, and some of the stuff I can't even remember. But the vast difference between the 1970s, the 1980s, and the 1990s to 2018, to me, seems so vast. And there's a great, great space in between. But I'm glad to know this today. Here's the good news. The Lord ain't changed not one bit. He's still the same God. No matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstance is, I've been doing some studying, and I come across a scripture, and they say that the wording is wrong. I've wrestled with whether or not with the Lord to read that verse. And the Lord's nudging me right now to read that verse. And I'm going to be reading out of Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5 is where I'll be reading at this morning. And the reason why I'm wrestling back and forth is oftentimes, as I said, I try to put things in the way of the Lord, thinking that the Lord needs my help. And Brother Tommy, the Lord don't need my help, but He wants my help. Can I say He wants my help? And He wants your help. But I'm reminded in the book of Psalms, and this is what he said in Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. It says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. That's saying that the Lord, he said the Lord is great, and He should be greatly praised in His own home. Home field advantage, He should be praised. Home field advantage. There's no better place to praise the Lord than with God's people. There's no better place to lift up His name than with God's people. I'm not going to lie, and you all know exactly what I'm saying. It's hard to do it sometimes. You're sitting at the red light, and you get that worship on, and you start bopping back and forth, feeling pretty good. You go looking around, see if anybody's watching. But can I say this? The one place where we should not be ashamed to worship who the Lord is amongst His people. And this is what it says in the second verse. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Beautiful for situation. That means where it's situated at. The situation of the, you know, a lot of times we use the word situation and we think it means just a circumstance. But a situation is also the position of where it's at. And I've wrestled with it all this morning about where's your situation? What is your situation? And how is your situation? We preached last Sunday about just the pure, simple gospel. And the reason why the Lord has pushed us in this direction, maybe I don't know for how long, but I think it needs to be a reminder. Peter had wrote, he said, I'll stir your mind up by the way of remembrance. Well, what do we need to remember? We need to remember what saved us, and that's the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we need to realize and know that not only does it save us, but to be reminded that it is beautiful for every situation that we're in. And the one situation that we're at today is we're in the house of the Lord. And to be reminded that God is still in control. I'm reminded we went to the football game yesterday, and I said, get Rebecca dressed, and we had to run a long drive for the football game. And I look in the rearview mirror, and I look, and Rebecca's got her God is in control t-shirt on from the youth retreat to be reminded of me that God is still in control. No matter how much chaos there seems to be in the world, I mean, I've never seen so much chaos around of a president that we have right now that I've ever heard, right or wrong. I'm not picking sides, but it just seems like everything's on edge. Every whim, there seems to be a time of chaos or anarchy to rise up. But I'm glad in God's people, in God's house, there is order. Somebody say amen. There needs to be order. That doesn't mean somebody might pop off out of order every once in a while, but that just means God is still in control, and I thank God that He is. I want to preach this morning about this situation here in Daniel chapter number 5. I want to preach about the situation that this man has found himself in. I want to preach upon whether or not, if you know and realize, or if you're meditating, or if you're weighing back and forth in the situation or the position that you're in, where is your position today and where is your situation? In Daniel chapter number 5, if you got it, say amen. And if you would like to, we invite everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you can't, we understand that you can't. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter number 5. And at verse number 1, it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Verse number 3 says, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Stop right there and read verse number 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master over of the magicians and magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, we come to you one more time today. We lift up thy name, and Lord, we pray, Lord, for that holy unction, Lord Father, that whereby I cannot preach without, whereby, Lord Father, I need that anointing. I need, Lord Father, for you to move upon me one more time. This congregation is different than any other congregation that we have, and there'll never be another congregation in the situation and the style that we're in right now. And God, I know you have a word. I know you will speak. And God, I know your spirit will move through. But Lord, please give us the ear to hear and the heart to receive and our attention to be arrested, that we would be focused upon your word. May we put away the preconceived thoughts and the preconceived notion, Lord Father. May we put away our thoughts and our meditations, Lord, and simply listen for what you have to say. God, I believe, Lord Father, if there's ever was a time that we should not let things slip, that which now's the time, Lord, that we should tighten up our grip. Lord, above all things, Lord, if there's people here that's lost and undone, God, I pray that they would stop playing their game, stop faking it until they can make it. I pray they would stop, Lord Father, and receive, which do you want to give them? And that's a glorious salvation. Lord Father, I pray for them that see it saved, Lord Father, but they're not doing as they ought to do. God, I pray, Lord Father, they would cry out and search for you, Lord Father, and have you intervene in their life and help in their situation. And Lord, them that's here who seems to think everything's in order, God, would you please speak to our heart, Lord Father, that we would know, Lord Father, what's not in order and what is in order, and that, Lord, we'd be ever vigilant to be that person you'd want us to be. It's in Jesus' precious, humbly righteous name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Most of us know the scriptures. Most of us know this story here in Daniel chapter number 5. I will say, outside of Daniel in the lion's den, and Ananias and Azariah and Mishael being in bowing down and being cast in the fiery furnace, this story here is probably one of the ones, the top three stories out of the book of Daniel that gets preached is where we find the handwriting that is upon the wall. The fingers of a man's hand appear and write a message upon the plaster of the wall. Here we find, this is where in the book of Daniel we find the children of Israel are smack dab in the midst of being occupied, that being took from their homeland, being burnt, the walls being burnt, the temple being burnt by the Chaldeans and by Nebuchadnezzar, and they have been taken. And they are now in the presence and under the power of Babylon due to their disobedience, due to their neglecting of following the word of God, due to not being obedient to what the Lord has to say. Mark this down in your life. If you're saved, write it in the corner of your margin or write it in the first of your Bible. Write this down. If you fail to follow the Lord, you will exactly know for sure that you will always fail. The Lord always has a plan. The Lord always has a way, and His way is the right way. And may I remind everybody as I'm preaching this message that we be reminded that God will always send out His word to remind all. I know in this scripture here in verses 1 through 5, we find where Daniel or Belshazzar, the king, the one who is in control right now, we have found where he is now having himself a feast, and he begins to throw himself a little party, if you'll have it, and they began to drink wine. He invited the lords, he invited all the people and the things that was going on, and they were having themselves a time in their ways. We all know in the story how this thing works out, but I want to get to two things in particular. But the first thing I want to get to is in verse number 11, where it says, "There is a man." I'm glad to know that God will always have himself a man. Forever throughout history, after Adam and Eve fell in the garden and after threw on through those things that God always looked for and found himself a man. I'm glad the Bible says in the book of Genesis, I believe around the fourth chapter, we find Enos is when the Bible says men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad though it may have been dark back then, but I'm glad there's still somebody calling upon the name of the Lord. We find in Genesis chapter number 5, Brother Josh, we find where men began to do things that was not right. How the sons of God were doing things that was not right with the daughters of men. We find that things was getting wicked and more wicked and more wicked. We find in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis that God repented himself that he ever made men, because the imagination of man's heart was evil continually. But thank God there was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. You can mark her down that they'll try to depress you. They'll try to discourage you. They'll try to beat you down in this modern day world. But rest assured, God has always got himself a man. He'll bring the word of God and the good news of God. You are not left alone. You are not left to the world's devices. If lift up your head, child of God. God will never leave you in a place where you're defeated. God will never leave you in a place where you don't think there's a way out. I'm glad Jeremiah, he was down in the dungeons in the mire, and they pulled him out with those nasty rags before preaching the word of God. And they asked him once again, said, "Is there a word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah says, "There is." And he preached the same word that God gave him. Can I say this? You can trust in the word of God. You can trust in the man of God. But know this, don't put your confidence. It's better to trust in the Lord and to put your confidence in men. But I'm glad that God's always got a man to spread and to preach his word. Can I say this? Not only in Daniel chapter number 5 and verse number 11 do we find that there is always a man. We find in 1 Kings chapter number 22 and verse number 8, there is yet a man. I'm glad to know that in those days and times, Ahab was the king over Israel. He was a wicked king. He was a wicked king, had done wicked things, and he decided to go to war against Assyria. And the Bible says that he got King Jehoshaphat of Judah to come join up with him, that they would go to war together. And they decided to get all the preachers and all the prophets and bring them out together. I believe there was 450. Can I say this? I'm going to get to this real quick. Can I say, it doesn't matter how many there is of them, as long as we're the majority of the one, everything is going to work out right. Everything is going to work out to be true. Y'all hear the preacher? And the Bible says, y'all know the story, but I got to preach this. Y'all bear with me if you wouldn't pray for me. I'm reminded that Ahab was having all these men stand up, and he's asking, he said, "Shall we go to war or shall we forbear?" And every one of those 450 prophets, they stood up and said, "O king, live forever. Thou shalt surely win the battle. It's surely yours, and you shall have great victory." Can I say this? Just because you got 450 people saying the same thing that you want to hear doesn't mean it's the word of the Lord. Can I say this? God will always tell you the truth. God will not spare your feelings, and God will not spare your heart, but he will always give you the truth that you may know exactly what the will of the Lord is. I like what Jehoshaphat said. He looked at Ahab Ahab and said, is there not one? Is there not one other, a man of the Lord that we can hear from? And Ahab says, yet there is yet a man by the name of Micaiah, whom I do not like. I actually hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. We find in 1 Kings chapter number 22 that they began to draw him out of the prison, and the man that's pulled him out of the prison, he says what he said. He said, now them all them other preachers have preached the same thing over and over and over again. He says, what you need to do is preach the same thing that them preachers are preaching. Y'all hear this man this morning? I know some people might say, preacher, if you'll just soften up the message. Preacher, if you just soften up the word. Preacher, if you go in a different direction. If you change your demeanor just a little bit, that church will grow and grow and grow. You'll have 500 to 1,000 people. You'll have the whole middle of South Lebanon, and everything will be good. Friend, I'm not the one growing the church. He's the one growing the church. He's the one who's the head of the church. And God says this is the way it ought to be said, and it's the way it ought to be said. I know some people may not like it, and some people may wish I would shut my mouth. But friend, I'm still one of those men that God placed and said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The Bible says when they pulled him out of prison, they said, preach everything else that everybody else is preaching. Won't you be soft and preach some good and them good messages, them feel-good messages. I want to feel good about myself. I want to pat myself on the back. I mean, I'm tired of being beat up with the things of the world. I don't need to come to church and get beat up by the preacher. Can I say this? Ain't no preacher ever beat me up. Somebody say amen right there. I've come to church and my life's been wrong, Brother Eddie. And the Lord preached through that preacher and Brother Miller. The Lord beat me up. And can I say this? I'm glad for the man of God that still stands and preaches the word. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat said, ain't you got one more? He said, I'm bringing him out right now. And he stood there and he began to mock Ahab just a little bit. Maybe he was fed up with Ahab. Maybe he's getting tired of pulled out of the prison every time they need to hear from God. Y'all hearing the preacher? There's some people who don't want to hear from the preacher until things get tough and things get rough, and they want some help in their life. Y'all pray for me now. I feel a mean streak about to come on, and I don't want to get in a mean streak. But they'll need help, and they'll need some kind of help them out, some kind of struggle. But the man of God, they don't like, and they'll keep him in prison. They'll pull him out every once in a while and ask him to give him something true and something good from the Lord. And he said, you know what? Just go up, Ahab. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win. And he, Ahab looked at him. He said, how many times have I told you don't hold nothing back? Tell me exactly what the Lord has to say. He said, I saw the children of Israel scattered like sheep with half a shepherd, and every man going to his own house. And those men got mad at him, and they smote him on the cheek. The reason why they smote him on the cheek, because he said he saw the Lord, and he saw them gathered around the Lord, and he saw a lying spirit that said he'll go fill the mouths of them 450 preachers. You said, preacher, do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. Hey, them preachers that starts preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the Lord, they got a lying spirit in their mouth. Amen right there. And the Bible says those men got mad and smote him. He said, if Ahab comes back home from the war and he's still alive, then the Lord never spoke through me. But the Bible says he got kind of scared. He told Jehoshaphat to dress up like the king, and he wasn't going to dress up like the king. Hey, can I say this? Ahab was not one to hide himself. Ahab was a very arrogant individual. Ahab thought himself to be somebody, and for him to disguise himself, he knew something was up. And the Bible says when they come to Jehoshaphat, they heard Jehoshaphat's cry. They knew that wasn't Ahab. They knew Ahab would fight. And the Bible said Ahab probably thought he was getting away, but the Bible said there was a certain man who peradventure drew a bow and let the arrow fly, and it smote Ahab between the shoulder blades, and he dropped down in his chariot, and he told the one driving the chariot, he said, drive on, for I am wounded. And the Bible said by the time they got back to Israel, he was already dead and in the chariot. Friend, can I say this? It doesn't matter what other people say. You can lump up everybody you want, but God's always got a man to give you the truth. And God's not trying to kill you, friend. He's trying to make you alive and give you life more abundantly. Friend, if you've got things wrong in your life, hear the man of God and repent. We find ourselves in another place in 2 Kings chapter number 5. Well, there is a prophet. Naaman. Naaman is a man, the king, the ruler, not a king, but he was a mighty man of valor over soldiers and men. Mighty man of valor. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. And he kept his leprosy hid. Can I say this? Listen to me, child of God. Listen to me, everybody underneath the sound of my voice. You can hide it. You can cover it up. But friend, it'll always poke out somewhere. Can I say this? I have preached many times. There's no way you can have God in your life and He not poke out somewhere. Y'all hearing the preacher? Well, sin is the same way. You can try to cover it up. You can try to hide it in the presence of the preacher, the presence of the church. But friend, it'll always poke out somewhere. I may never see it, but God will always see it, and so will you. Y'all hearing the preacher? And the Bible says He covered it up. His desire was to have that leprosy gone. And leprosy is a type of sin in the Old Testament. And the Bible says there was a little maid there with her. I'm glad that there was a little maiden there with her. Some people say them young people ain't got much good, ain't got much worth. Friend, you ask Naaman and his wife, that one had a whole lot of worth. She had a word she could give Naaman. She said, oh, there would be, Lord, my Lord, there's a prophet in Israel. I'm glad there still was a man of God in Israel. Naaman had a problem. Naaman said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put on my finest clothes, my finest robe. I'll bring him the finest clothes, the finest robes. I'll bring him all kinds of money. And he brung it unto the king, or sent a letter to the king. And the king says, I'm not the man. I'm not the guy that you're looking for. Finally, I'm trying to speed this up just a little bit to get to the message. And the Bible says that they came to Elisha, and Elisha sent out his servant, and he told Naaman to go dip himself in Jordan 7 times, and thou shalt become clean. Now the Bible says Naaman got wroth, because he thought for surely that the man of God would come out, lift up his hand and smote the area where the leprosy was, and commanded to go away. Friend, can I say this? God don't work on your ways. God works on His ways. And what God says goes. And I like to think this. I thank God for the things that He does when He does it. Some of you may not think it's that big of a deal, and I think some of us do. But I praise God the little old hole in a big old foot on Si's body got healed up and covered over after 3 years. You said, preacher, why are you so excited? That gives me hope in the prayers that I've been praying for year after year after year. Hey, don't give up. Don't quit, child of God. If God says it, it's going to be done. That settles it. And the Bible says that Ahab was, or Naaman was told by Elisha's servant to go dip himself in Jordan 7 times, and that shall be clean. Now notice this. Now Naaman thought for sure that Adnah and Pharpar were better looking rivers and were a better way. And they think it just seemed like they was more appealing than the River of Jordan. The River Jordan's crooked. The River Jordan's muddy. But there's only one problem. God does His work at the River Jordan. He never did His work at Adnah. Never done His work at Pharpar. They may look pleasant. They may be kind of cool looking. They may kind of be kind of a good to taste. But my friend, I'm telling you, I'd rather be, if it's unattractive, if it's ugly to look at, I'd still rather be where God is than be anywhere else in the world, because what God does works. And the Bible says He was at the River Jordan. We all know the story. He dipped 7 times. He became clean. We find in the New Testament. You said, preacher, those are all Old Testament. We find in the New Testament, in Acts chapter number 25. We find that the Apostle Paul, he's there and he's with Felix. Paul was under the captivity of the one in Acts chapter 24, Drusilla and her husband. There they were. He had done preached to them. Bible says that he was to be there for 2 years and he had preached the gospel. He's one who preached that private lesson unto them. And they said, when you come back in a more convenient season, we'll hear you again. Paul preached righteousness and judgment, preached all those things in wrath. Bible says they got scared. They knew what was the truth. But they hid him for 2 years, didn't want to hear it again. And as King Agrippa was talking with Felix, the Bible says that Paul appealed unto Caesar's judgment. And as Agrippa was talking and asking things about what was going on, Felix said in chapter number 25, to be verse number 14, he said, there's yet a certain man. He said, there's yet a certain man who's appealed under there. Now, King Agrippa may have thought it was just somebody seeking the right judgment, but they didn't know it was God's plan to have the Apostle Paul preach the gospel and to give the gospel. May I say this? He said, even though in the bonds and chains. Well, first, I like what the Apostle Paul said at the beginning of Acts chapter number 26. King Agrippa told the Apostle Paul, he said, Paul, you can go ahead and speak for yourself. Go ahead and speak. And Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy that I'm able to speak and give these words. Let me flip to that real quick. I feel like y'all need to hear this and realize. Acts chapter number 26 and verse number 1. And this is what he said, think, Cretan, presented to Paul, that are permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And the apostle Paul began to give him his testimony. He said, King Agrippa, you know these things. You're an expert. You've read the Bible. You've read your scriptures. You've went to Sunday school class. You've went to VBS. You've went to youth retreat. You've hung out in the adult Sunday school class. You've had Bible study. You've heard the preaching. King Agrippa, you know all these things. And what the apostle Paul do, didn't pull nothing fancy. He just started pulling out his testimony and saying everything that Christ Jesus done for him. He said, all those men around me saw the light, but I heard the voice. Can I say this? When the Lord speaks and calls out the name, I know for a fact when the Lord speaks. I says, how do I know when the Lord's speaking? You'll know when God's speaking unto you. I've heard some people say, preacher, I don't know if that's the Lord or not. You can try to pull a fast one on me. I never heard the Lord speak before. I didn't know what his voice sounded like. And I'm not saying he speaks in an audible voice where you think I'm plumb crazy and plumb nuts. Does anybody know what this preacher's preaching about this morning? I can say that day when the Lord began to deal with my heart and speak to my heart, I didn't know who it was, but it was like a voice I've heard. I was familiar, something that I knew. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself again, and the Apostle Paul says, I heard a voice. He heard somebody speaking to his heart. He heard somebody speaking into the depths of his heart. There's many of people says, preacher, I don't think God does those things. And I've often said, get yourself around a church that is filled with the Spirit of God and get yourself around a man of God who will preach the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God. You'll hear the voice of the Lord. We all know the story. King Agrippa's there. Apostle Paul's a pleading with him. They said, Paul, you're mad. Much learning has made you mad. He said, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. I like what he says. I flipped out my scripture, so you ought to read it for yourself. He said, I'm not mad. He said, I wish you all was like I am in these bonds, except for these bonds. Basically, he was saying, you all think you're free, and I know I'm bound, but I wish you felt like I did on the inside. I wish you knew what I knew on the inside. And he looked at King Agrippa, he said, thou knowest these things. Thou knowest these things. And he began to deal with his heart. He began to deal with his heart. When he began to deal with his heart, King Agrippa said the famous words, unfortunately, King Agrippa will always be known by. He says, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Thou almost persuadest me. Somebody says, well, not to persuade him. I beg to differ. We're to persuade, we're to compel, we're to convince that this is real. It's hard to live that, it's hard to be that convincing when it's not that real. Here in these scriptures in Daniel chapter 5, I gave all those things for a reason. And all these scriptures in Daniel add up, show in Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 11, said there is a man. When Belshazzar, he's there, he's having his party and he's drinking his wine. And can I say this? We're living in a day and time. Belshazzar is a type and figure of the world religion nowadays, of the things that we're facing in this world and this country. And I say religion, it doesn't matter if you go to church, you don't go to church. It seems like everybody now has got a religion. Everybody's got a belief. Everybody's got something. And now if you say something against those things, or if you stand against those things, or if you just say those things are not Bible, not correct, it's not just out there that people get upset. Even people that you go to church with get upset. Says you can't say those things. I beg to differ, friend. The world's needing a man to stand up and say what is right and what is not right. Notice these people, they're drinking and they're partying and they're drinking their wine. They're drinking, they're getting drunk, having themselves a good time. They invited all their people over. Can I say this? We're living in days and times now where there's still yet churches and there's places out there. And we've had to deal with some of them here recently in the not too long a past, where folks is bringing in the things of the world and saying, it's all right to do the things of the world. We got people doing stuff on the sidelines with alcohol and wine, saying it's okay that God, because Jesus made the water into wine. And they try to use that scripture and they twist it, which is an absolute lie. Jesus didn't turn it into alcoholic wine. It would be contradicting himself who he is. For the Old Testament talks about how wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Hey, can I say Jesus never contradicted himself? He's always been the truth. He said, preacher, what are you preaching this way for? You take it up with God. He said, this is the message that needs to be preached this Sunday morning. And but friend, I don't care how the world puts it. I don't care how the churches put it. I don't care how the religions put it. This Bible says you must be born again, living a separated and sanctified life, and bless His name. That's what God wants. But can I say it's not to rule over you or to keep you in prison? We don't realize it's sin that binds us up. It's the things of the world that causes the harm. It's not God. I'm reminded that they're there and everything was all right. They'd have lived their own safe way, their own way. But you know what happened? They began to try to pollute the things of the Lord. And can I say this? There's more and more people trying to pollute the things of God and the ways of God. And can I say this? Everybody always tries to pollute. Everybody's always got themselves something. Can I say this? That's not nothing new. It's been going on from generation from generation. My Bible tells us, we all know the story in Acts. I believe it was in Acts chapter number 5, where they said that they tried to stop John and Peter from preaching Jesus Christ. And Gamaliel's at the Sanhedrin court. He said, friends, we've got this example, we got that example. These people starting something, but it never works out. He says, but what you ought to do is just leave it alone, leave it alone. Because if it's not of God, it will always fail. But if it is of God, don't you dare be found fighting against it. Can I say this? There's more and more people fighting against God and God's ways. And some people say, preacher, we ought to do something about it. I'm going to follow the words of Gamaliel. I'm just going to leave them alone. Because I'm telling you this, I'm going to let God have the final say. I'm going to let God have the final rule. And God will always get the glory. Y'all hearing the preacher? The Bible says this, and I do know this. The Bible says that the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Because the God of this world has blinded their mind's eye. That's the glorious light of the gospel spring in. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus crucified. And can I say this? Preaching of the cross may be foolishness to them that perish, but it is the power of God to us that do believe. And friend, I'll stick with the old stuff and still preach what God says to preach and not pollute it. These people began, Belshazzar began to pollute it. And so it don't bother, it's not bad to do this or do that. But friend, I'm telling you, a little bit leads to a whole lot. The Apostle Paul told the church of Corinth, the reason why y'all got so much problem, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says, purge out the old leaven that the lump may be new. You know, people say, well, preacher, it's too hard to purge out things. You know, when you've got to purge things out of life and out of churches, y'all hearing this man of God, it hurts. It's painful. Leaven's got a grip. Leaven dig in. Leaven's got like a, it's like that barb on the hook or that fish hook. You try to just pull it out. Oh, it's going to take something with it when you pull it out. You said, preacher, that's going to hurt. But friend, Paul said, purge it out. Lord says, purge it out. What's happening right here? They took the vessels of God. They took the gold of God and the silver of God and began to drink out of them. And then they began to praise the gods of gold and silver. They began to praise the gods of stone and wood. They began to praise the gods of brass and iron. Can I say this? And I hope everybody's listening to me. Some folks think it's mean, but I've seen more and more people that's looking at these things and they can't figure out what's going on and can't see things that's happening. They say, preacher, look what news happened. Look what news happened. There's nothing new under the sun. You'll find everything that's happened in the confines of this Bible. Every heretic, every heresy, every false belief. You say, preacher, what about that pedophilia? It's all in here. That transgender stuff, it's all in here. Had a person, y'all pray for me. Had a person I've watched raised in church. Mom and daddy took them to church. Just because you take them to church, Brother James, doesn't mean they get saved. And just because you take them to church doesn't mean they're going to live right. Y'all hearing the preacher? Hey, Samuel took his boys to church, and them two fellas didn't work out too good, did they? Somebody say amen right there. But I watched them, and I watched them, and I watched them. I said, something ain't right. Something's not going right. Something's not going the way it ought to go. And you said, preacher, where you getting at? You can always pinpoint when things start going wrong. And friend, when you start worshiping the things of the world more than the things of God, friend, you done left it. You done went off. You done drifted. Notice when you drift away, you never drift closer to God. You always drift away from God. No one ever drifts closer to God. You're drawn to God. You sail to God. But you drift away from God, and more, line upon line, here, there, a little sin, this is all right, this is okay, a little sleep, a little slumber, and next thing you know, they're way out in left field. No one can understand why, but you can always know why, because the things of the world was more lifted up than the things of God. Oftentimes I hear people say, don't you think you all just cut a little slack? Cut a little slack. Come on, you know, it ain't that big a deal. Friend, know what's going on? They began to drink out of them vessels. When they began to drink out of them vessels, no one there saw the problem with it. You know why? Because the leadership was doing it. Right? And when the leadership starts going south, mark her down. Everybody else goes south. Right? And just so you know, I ain't picking on nobody. When I start going south, my home starts going south, you watch this church start going south. You watch the hindrances of things in this church start going south. You start watching the pastor not staying for things that's right. And some people say, well, preacher, you ought not to preach that way. Can I say this? It's still the Word of God, whether it's for me or it's against me. It's one thing to prop up things that you believe in, but it's another thing when the man of God preaches and the Word of God comes in power and demonstration and preaches your life and preaches your home. Friend, we're living in 2018. God's got to be coming back sometime soon. There's never been the mess that we've got in today's world as we've gotten now. And the last group of people that acted this way, He sent down fire and brimstone upon them and consumed those cities. Oh, the Bible says that the preaching that was done in Capernaum and them other cities and Chorus was done in Sodom and Gomorrah, no doubt they would have repented. But friend, what about the preaching that's been done in the United States of America and the state of Ohio and South Lebanon and Mount Zion Baptist Church? The Lord's going to have to apologize to some people if He don't bring judgment. Right? I was talking to Brother Strickland's great granddaughter, talking to her sweet girl. And she's like, oh yeah, that's my great papa. I've heard stories about him. Preach the word. Instant in season, out of season. Michelle, I may not be the prettiest thing to look back. I may not be fancy. I may not have the best of English and the best of etiquette. But you know what? I don't want to be associated as being the best. I want to be associated as being the obedient. Right? Too many times people's looking for something else instead of looking for the ways of the Lord. And these people was looking for things that they wanted to worship, and they was worshiping the things of the world. I see people on the left and see people on the right saying, you know what, that old-time way just ain't going to cut it. I'm finding more and more people who goes to that new style of stuff, that new way of stuff. I'm finding themselves empty. They're finding themselves not being fulfilled. I was told, but one says, I just can't get fed that way. And don't y'all, you know what? You say, preacher, you're still living in the glass house. I'll put it to you this way. We got a whole bunch of Twinkie religion. And when they find out that they got swelled up like this old preacher's gotten swelled up eating junk food, they're all junked up on their religion. They can't function. They can't do things properly. And some people say, well, I just don't like soup, beans, and fried potatoes and cornbread. That cornbread just ain't no good to me. Well, friend, cornbread started in the Old Testament. Somebody say amen right there. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for us. What we ought to do is get rid of the Twinkie religion and get a hold of something that'll stick to your ribs and last a lifetime. Too many times people take it for granted and push it off to the side. Belshazzar said, hey, you know, I'm the king now. I'm the one calling the shots. We'll do it my way. You do it your way, Belshazzar. You have yourself your party. You drink your wine. I have never in a day, my daddy was a drunkard, and I loved my dad with all my heart. Next door neighbor guy was a church-going individual. And he'd want to share beer with my dad. Don't y'all get mad at, don't y'all, I'm not shaming my daddy. I got to give you this. My daddy looked at him, even a drunk, Brother Greg, he looked at him and said, you go to church and you still drink? He said, yeah, it's okay. He said, not where I grew up at, it wasn't. Can I say this? I don't care how many ways you shake it. And you try to okay it. In the long run, you'll get yourself a message from the Lord. You'll have a man. It's not all right. You can't live worldly, live in sin. I don't care if you call it sin or not. It's not what you deem to be sin. It's what the Lord deems to be sin. And when you do that, mark her down. Because the Lord marked it down. His fingers of a man's hand appeared upon the wall. Preacher, do you really believe that? I absolutely do. I believe it was the fingers of our Lord writing a message upon the wall. Said he engraved on the plaster. Belshazzar knew something was up. He couldn't understand what was wrote on the wall, but he understood what was going on. Y'all hear the preacher? You said, preacher, how can you say that? Because the Bible says he got so scared that his loins loosed and his legs and his knees smote together. That means he was weak-kneed. He could not stand for himself. And what does he do? Like most other people do, Brother Josh, to get mad. And they go looking for somebody else to help him out. Right. Says he went to the astrologers. He went to the soothsayers. Went to everybody. Said, somebody got to tell me what that inscription says. Somebody's got to tell me something. Man, that's on my wall. Did you all see them fingers appear on the wall? I mean, everybody else probably was a drunk. Probably thought they was hallucinating. But old Belshazzar sobered up real quick. Sobered up real quick. I don't care how drunk you are, how stoned you are, how close to overdosing you are. When God shows up in your life, he'll sober you up. I said, he'll sober you up. The Bible says, he says, ain't nobody. But his wife spoke up. She says, there is a man. She says, there is a man in verse 11 in thy kingdom. That means he's already there. In whom the spirit of the holy gods. She said the holy gods. There's only one God. She didn't know. And in that day of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Notice she said, in the days of thy father. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't his father, it was his grandfather, but they always called him grandfathers, and great-grandfathers always called him the fathers. Said, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, the astrologers, and the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, for as much as an excellent, verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in that same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and we will shew the interpretation. Notice all the accolades she said about him. Notice all the things she said that man could do. Can I say this? We often throw this off on preachers, and I charge every preacher, and including myself, that we have the same rapport as Daniel had. You said, preacher, how do I get that rapport? Well, can I say it's also good for the congregation just as much as it is for the preacher? Because in chapter number 1, verses 8 through 15, do you believe it is, the Bible says Daniel purposed it in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel was already separated from the things of the world. He was separated and sanctified for the master's use. Daniel was ready to give a word from the Lord. The Bible says that they called for Daniel because Daniel had a reputation of being able to deliver the word of the Lord. Daniel had a reputation of being straight and being right. Notice that when things got worldly and it got bad, they needed somebody to give them truth. They called on one of God's people. And I know some people might say they make fun of you at Mount Zion Baptist Church. They poke fun of you at Mount Zion Baptist Church. They can do whatever they want. It's God's church. I don't have to defend God's church. He'll defend his church. But can I say this? When it comes time for trouble, when it comes time for hard times, I'm glad that some of them people's called back up. And they said, preacher, I need to talk to you for a little bit. Can I talk to you for just a little while? I got some troubles in my heart, and he ain't been in church in a long time. And somebody said, preacher, do you really give him the screws? Do you say, I told you so? I don't say anything like that. God, help me if I did. I said, tell me everything that's wrong with you. I'm going to help you pray. I'm going to try to be a help to you. Why? Because I still want that same power with God that Daniel had. That in the time of trouble, they don't keep running to the world, but they'll run to the people of God. Y'all hearing the preacher? Bible says they went to Daniel. Daniel was there. Daniel sat alone with Belshazzar. I want you all to notice this. In verse number 16, 5, it says, and I heard of thee, thou, this is Belshazzar talking to Daniel. It said, I've heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation, dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and made known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. I like how Daniel responded. Daniel said, answered and said, before the king, let thy gifts to be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Can I say something? It doesn't matter if you got the best name. Doesn't matter if you get the pats on the back. You know, y'all may think this is crazy. Wouldn't bother me one bit if we took Pastor Jason Faulkner off the sign. It's not about my name. You said, preach, what is wrong with you this morning? I'm giving you what God's telling me to give you. I ain't got no second thoughts. I ain't got no ulterior motives. Don't know one thinking something's a cooking at the Faulkner home. Don't know one thinking. I'm just preaching the truth. What we're seeing in today's day and time, we're seeing too many people, Brother Scott, looking for a name. Churches are looking for a name. But the world is needing somebody to be God. They're needing him to be the representative and the ambassador of God. We all love the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, but all things are past, but all things are become new. Verse 18, all things are of God. Goes through all the scriptures. Towards the end of that chapter, it says, in whom Christ became our sin, he that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The last verse of chapter number 5 says, for we are his ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ. You can't be an ambassador staying in your home country. You can't be an ambassador staying in your home state. And you can't be an ambassador staying in your home church. When you're ambassadors, when you go into a foreign land. And friend, we're in a foreign land. We're representatives of Christ. And God looks for them representatives who not only represent what the ruler of that land wants, but also can demonstrate the power of the ruler of that land. And Daniel's that very same ambassador of the Lord in a foreign land. And the foreigners of that land that may be foreign to Daniel, they see and say, we know, we heard. 17, that Daniel answered, keep your gifts. He says, I don't need the pat on the back. You just want the truth. I'm here to give you the truth. He said, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. But notice what he says. If y'all ain't got to read it, just want you to listen. I'm almost done. He said, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would kept alive, and whom he set up, and whom he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Notice the fall that Nebuchadnezzar took when he got swelled up. Verse 21 says, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And notice what he says in verse number 22. He said, now his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine, and them thou shalt have praised, and thou hast praised the gods of gold, gods of silver, and gold, and brass, and iron, wood, and stone, which see not, and hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You said, preacher, why'd you read so much? Because Belshazzar had a lineage that he could look back on. Belshazzar couldn't say he didn't know nothing. He said, your daddy got all big-headed like you did, and they cut him down. Lord cut him down and humbled him and let him know just who the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth were. He said, you knew all this stuff, and still yet you wouldn't humble yourself. But you began to worship other gods who see and who hear not and don't even know. He says, you want to know the interpretation of the dream? He gave the interpretation of the dream. Heard an old preacher say this one time, and I've tried to say it since then. It ain't got the same power as it did the first time I heard it. They said the reason why Daniel could understand the interpretation, because he knew the handwriting on the wall, because he knew who wrote the handwriting, and he knew the language. He knew exactly what the writing was. He knew exactly what God was saying, because he knew the language. See, he didn't have the power. Man, when I heard that, man, I squalled. Nobody else knew the language of the Lord, Brother Jeff, but the man of God knew it. The one that was still there, he still knew the language. I would go through all the fancy words, you know, all the things that said. But basically what he said, you've been waiting the balance. You've been found wanting, and the kingdom's going to be pulled from you. He says, you judged. See, we preach, what's it got to do with today's day and time? There's people living like today like there's no judge. And there is. We live a life and we live throughout days, and maybe things, and maybe you're trying your best. If you are, bless your heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Glorify Him. Lift up His name. Don't draw attention to yourself. But can I say this? There's many a people out there needing a Daniel in their life. There's many a people out there. It's one thing just to blend in. I never forget as a kid growing up. Everybody always talks about when they're drinking. Everybody talks about the party and everything like that. I never forget the first time. Come on, man. Ain't no big deal. Y'all hearing the preacher? I never forget the first time I tasted it. It was nasty. Gross as could be. But I wanted to fit in so much. I want to be with the cool kids. And the cool kids weren't the kids my age. It was the older kids that I was around. I would say who the cooler kids was, who was supposed to have been watching over me, but they wasn't watching over me. They was dragging me into their mess. So what I did was, while they wasn't looking, I'd pour it out. So I'd fit in. They'd make them think I was part of the crew, part of the world. Some of the people say, you get, and at work, some people say, preacher, I got two or three people that profess to be a Christian, but when the dirty jokes and the dirty pictures come out, they get showed all that stuff, and they don't even blush. They say, preacher, you might want to leave the room. The story's about to get bad. I get up and I leave the room. Somebody says, well, you don't know I have to leave the room. You got a right to sit in there. Yeah, I do, and they're going to keep right on talking, and my ears will hear it, and it'll mess with my mind. So wait, I get up and I walk out. And you know what? They may not like it, but it's a testimony not for them. It's a testimony to my God saying, I'm still going to stick with the old stuff. I'm not perfect. I fail. But can I say something? There's got to be a separation between God's people and the world. Daniel purposed it in his heart to be separated. Daniel purposed in his heart so much that people feared and said, you're doing it the wrong way. But Daniel says, no, I know my Lord. And there was a handful that went with him. And they went with God. And when hard times came, who did they come to? They come to the men and the people of God. I wonder what your situation is. You say, preacher, you forgot about situation. No, because Daniel's situation was tough. He's a captive. He's in a foreign land. He's around people. They're doing things. Their custom is different. Their customs are strange. They're not lifting up the name of Jehovah. They're worshiping the things of the world. And he's stuck in the middle of it. He's in Rome, but he's not going to do as the Romans do. You know, that's what I was saying. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Not for a child of God. We're in the world, but we don't partake of the things of the world. We're separated from the world. Y'all hearing the preacher? I know it ain't been a popular message, but this is what God's sending. Hey, that's the reason why I don't gamble. That's the reason why I don't play lottery tickets. That's why I don't play scratch-offs. They walk by at the football game and say, we won't play 50-50. Now, if you play 50-50, that's but I still think it's gambling in my heart, so I don't do 50-50. I don't do 50-50. One guy used to make fun of me. He used to go to bluegrass singing all the time. I don't know why I'm on this. Y'all pray for me. And the guy was raised in church. His daddy's a pastor. If I told you who the guy is and who he sings for, y'all look at me. He'd come to me and say, hey, Rev, you going to play 50-50? Rev, you going to play 50-50? And the reason why he does it, because he knows I won't play 50-50. I don't know why I'm preaching on 50-50 right now. Y'all help me. 50-50? You put in $5, and if they draw your name, you get to split the pot. They keep 50, and you get 50. Okay? You said, preacher, what's that all about? To me, it's the same thing as a slot machine. You keep putting your coins in. Hey, you put so many coins in, they spit out if you win. But it's funny how a lot of people never hit the numbers. But they'll sit there and spend 20. I don't know why y'all pray for me. I'm about to babble. Dare to be different in a world of compromise. Why? Because the world needs a man. The world needs a woman. The world needs a teenage boy, a teenage man, a teenage girl, and a teenage lady. This world, I've never seen so much in all my life where people don't care. It's the little kids. And I hear people saying, listen to the mouth on that little kid. Listen to that little kid's mouth cussing like crazy. And then 2 minutes later, they say the same things. I'm like, what do you expect? So when people say, well, I go to church, but and they start making excuses. Can I say this? If you've got to make excuses for your church and you're embarrassed to be a member of the church, you need to leave the church. Get right with God and go where God sends you. Why? Because the world needs somebody to stand up and proclaim what's right and what's true. They don't need somebody else running down God's people. And can I say this? No matter what they say, the gate of hell cannot prevail against God's church. Amen. Matthew 17, and throughout all the Bible, God's always going to have him a man, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Well, the gates of hell, hell is the wrath of God. If the wrath of God's not going to prevail against the church, why is that? Because God's Son is the head of the church. Nobody else can touch the church. Why? It's the apple of his eye. But what this world needs is to see that loving hand. I'll say this. We get somebody come, get the song. Play on the piano and get the song ready. You don't care if I share your dentist experience, do you? Not the part we use on the gas, but the other part. Tammy had to go to the dentist Thursday. It's been a long time. We had to spend there longer than we did, than we thought we was going to have to spend. And they needed somebody to drive and all that stuff. The dentist, some of may know the dentist. I ain't going to mention his name. I've heard stories. People try to tell me stories about this dentist in the past, so I don't know. I'm going by what two people said he's a good dentist. So we're sitting there, we're talking. That dentist begins to ask questions. First, he insulted me. He said, he asked how old Tammy was, and Tammy told him. He said, wow, she's young enough to be your daughter. He goes, that's pretty cool. I said, I don't think it is. And the aide helped him, started laughing. I think he called it. He began to ask questions about us. For some reason, everybody thinks because you have a bunch of kids. They think you're a Christian if you have a bunch of kids. Can I say this? There's a lot of people having a bunch of kids just because they don't know or understand what abstinence means. I want to say this. Kids ought to be born in wedlock. That's the Bible way. Abstinence is not a suggestion. It's a Bible must. That's why the marriage bed is not defiled. Amen. For some reason, he felt compelled to give us his testimony. And I'm glad that he did. This is what he said. This is not more words. This is his words. He says, you know, I'm a Christian. Got saved in, I think it was December 22nd, 1988. I think it's the date that he gave. He said he was working with another dentist, and that dentist kept asking him. He said, he'd say his name. He said, are you saved? Are you a Christian? He goes, I believe in Jesus. He said, I didn't ask if you believed in Jesus. I asked if you're saved. I asked if you got saved or are you a Christian. He says, why are you gonna make it a debate for? Right then, caused a problem. If somebody asks you if you're saved, and all you say is, I believe, something wrong. Something wrong. Because I got saved. I got saved from some things, and I got saved to some things. Amen. And I didn't do the saving. Somebody else did. He said that man would not leave him alone, but told him over and over again. He said, are you saved? Have you been saved? And one day he said, let me tell you why you ought to get saved. That man you said you believe in, do you know that he loved you? Do you know he died for you? See, we like to believe in it generally. We like to believe in it for the whole entire world. But friend, unless you believe in it personally, unless you believe it specifically for your own life, friend, it's not salvation. For God so loved the world, that's generic. That means he loved the whole entire world. Even the very people that hated him, spit on him, and mocked him, and pierced him, he still loved them because he gave his son. But God makes a difference between the world and his people. He said, you know that man that you said you believed in? He loved you this much. And that's what that dentist did. He put his hands out this much. Now, he said, that's when I realized it wasn't just a believing in him. It was him dying for me and dying for my sin. The gospel is this. Everybody's got themselves a situation, but Jesus is the one who can answer for every situation and be the help in every situation. We got saved people here. I want you to listen to me. Ain't being mean, I'm trying to be your pastor. We got saved people here who can't make up their mind. You're halt between two opinions. There's nothing wrong with selling out and going big for Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with it. And that goes for me too. We got some that allows too much stuff to get in their way and get in their crawl. That all things of the world or things, whatever it is, you all put it in there. I'm just giving you what God's saying to give. This is the invitation that the Lord's telling me to give. We've all got a situation. You can make it the excuse. You can point the fingers. I've done it. But friend, that'll never help you out in your situation. the Lord is to be greatly praised and greatly honored in His palace, in His city. Beautiful for situation. That means the elevation, the place that we're at. It's beautiful. You can find help here. You can find rest here. You can find strength here. Why? Because God's ways still work. Do you know that man, Belshazzar, got told he was weighed in the balance? Babylon was the first and the greatest of all empires that you see listed in as the great empires of the Bible. The first one listed, you always go to Babylon. They said Babylon was unbelievably beautiful. The gardens of Babylon, the gold, the things. They said there was like 30-foot gold statues and all kinds of things, history states. Supposedly the wall was over 100-foot thick and went 30-foot underground before it went up. It was just wonderful. But that night, the Medes and the Persians were parked outside that wall. And while they was a partying, the enemy was at the wall. They never knew somebody was at the wall. The watchman wasn't there to sound the alarm. There was nobody there saying, y'all was about to get taken out. And before they got took out, God let them know they was going to. And that night, Belshazzar's life was took from him. He died. Can I say this? I'm no prophet. I'm just a man. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody that can save anybody. That's all that I am. And friend, what you need is that somebody. His name is Jesus Christ. No matter your situation, hard times, difficult times, struggling times, He's the answer for your situation. Don't run from Him, run to Him.